Pop Spotting 114.
Thursday, August 25th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Thursday, which means it's time for more pop talk and trivia.
This is where we bring our brilliant listeners in to talk about the things that they love, and then we try to bend their brains with trivia.
Our guest this week from New York is John Norton, a longtime podcaster. He's now host of the Zero Hour podcast and also the Tribe Survivor podcast.
Welcome to the show, John.
Ryan and Jen, it has been far too long. Good to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. It's great to hear your voice again. I think the last time we saw you in person was at Comic-Con in 2008.
Yeah, which both seems like yesterday and 20 years ago at the same time.
Well, John was an original Metro Buzzer, I think, one of the early golden age of podcasts, and of course been keeping very busy. Now, apart from the Zero Hour and the Tribe, what else have you been up to?
Well, I'm going through a move, moving out to L.A. full-time, which will be fun, and that'll make getting to next year's Comic-Con a lot easier, because it'll just be a train ride down, so I'm looking forward to that. But just craziness, you know, I'm hoping I can finally escape the New York winter, hoping I can time it just right. But I'm actually going to be driving from New York out to L.A., which everyone says is like, wow, a life-changing, really cool experience. So I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm starting to put together maybe how I'm going to document it in terms of the pictures, maybe some video. I think there's a lot I could do. And I'll probably take a detour, you know, the Grand Canyon or stuff like that, because, you know, why not? I mean, I may never even do that drive ever again. So I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm not really a traveler. It's not something that I normally will do, but I want to take full advantage of it. So I think that would actually be a lot of fun.
I think that's a podcast right there. That's
a
show.
Yeah, we cannot wait to see your travel.
John Norton's
video.
Tour of America, Emmy winner.
And
right
then after
there.
That, I'm driving to Hawaii. Wait.
Hey, that's what I think Google tells you to take a kayak if you do Google
yeah,
directions.
Yeah, or just swim across the Pacific, yeah.
Right, absolutely. Well, we're really glad to have you and hear your voice, and always great to talk to another podcaster so they know exactly how poorly or how well we're doing here. But here
it's also, I mean, it's too bad that there's the time distance that hopefully will be a little lessened when I'm out to L.A., that, you know, we don't get to talk as often as we should. So I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that's
thank
right.
Thank you for coming on.
We will definitely have you on more often when you don't have to stay up till 2 a.m. to talk with us again. So here on Pop Talk and Trivia for Thursday, we welcome guests or victims, as you prefer, to tell us about three things that we should know more about. And then after that lovely conversation, we basically Shanghai you and attack you with some trivia questions. How's that sound?
Nice little tar and feathering going on here on Pop Spotting. I like it.
Okay, so John, what is the first thing you'd like to tell us about?
All right, well, my first recommendation for you guys, I'm going to actually let you guess what it's going to be, but I'll give you some clues, okay? It's a TV series. Mm-hmm. It shows some old film that was shot decades ago every now and then. It has a man with an eye patch, and they keep referring to an incident that happened. Do you guys have any idea what show I might be referring to?
Oh, what is it? Is it Lost?
Ooh, so close. It's not Lost, Jen, but it's actually The Lost Room. Now, The Lost Room is a 6-episode miniseries that aired on the Sci-Fi Channel that I was recently turned on to, and it's actually pretty awesome. It stars Peter Krauser from 6 Feet Under, and actually has a lot of pretty well-known people. You have Juliana Margulies in it, you have Kevin Pollak, you have Peter Jacobson, who plays Dr. Taub on House, and you actually have Ella Fanning, who we all saw not too long ago in Super 8.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a pretty cool cast, and she's, you know, like, she plays an 8-year-old. I think she might have been, like, 5, maybe, back when this was shot. She was very, very young. But it's this really cool sci-fi series that it's kind of difficult to explain without getting too spoilery, so I'll try to do my best here. Basically, Peter Krauser is a cop who ends up in possession of this key. And this key can unlock any door that has, you know, a regular locking key on it.
I remember the promos for that.
Yeah, and what's cool about it is, when you go in, when you unlock any door with this key, you go into this basically magical motel room that sort of exists in nowhere land. And throughout the series, you uncover not just the key, but many other objects that are from this hotel room. You know, everyday objects like a watch or a comb or a pencil. And they all do really distinctly different things that you think sometimes, well, that could be really, really helpful, like a comb can stop time, or things that are kind of mundane, like if you bounce a pencil, a penny shows up out of nowhere.
Hmm.
But it's all about how you use them and how you use them in combination with one another. And basically, something happens at the end of the first episode that gets Peter Krauser's character very invested in the Lost Room and has to basically solve a mystery to accomplish something. Now, what's really cool about this is really, this could have been a show, in my opinion. I mean, this could have been a full run, because even when this ends after six episodes, there are many avenues that they did not explore that I think are really awesome. You have different sections of people who are worshiping the items, thinking that they're pieces of God, and that if you put them all back together, you can communicate with God, and have these really cool religious overtones that, I mean, you could have done multiple seasons of. And that would be my only criticism of the show, would be that it's almost too short, that they had to wrap up things a little too quickly, and they could have gone on and on, because I think there are a lot of really cool unexplored avenues. But if you check out the show and you like it, they're apparently making a Lost Room comic that's coming out this fall. Hmm. So maybe that'll continue the story. So I'm definitely going to be on the lookout for it. And I would also say this, if I wanted to bring this up on this show, because I think it's the perfect show to talk about, because if you like Lost, I think you're going to love this show, because obviously it has sort of those funny similarities I mentioned. And, you know, I don't, maybe the writers were fans of Lost, maybe not, I don't know. But even more than that, the feeling is very much the same. Like, I'm not a huge sci-fi fan. I love my Star Wars. You know, I love J.J. Abrams' Star Trek. And I like Lost. But, you know, most things that are probably on the sci-fi channel are not going to be for me. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have, like, the Blob from Nowhere, the 8, the 200 people. Like, it's just not my style. I know a lot of people like it. That's fine. But not for me. Lost was sort of just enough sci-fi for me that you also great, you know, you got a really great story, you got great characters. So you had a little bit of everything. It wasn't just super, super sci-fi, which could turn some people off. I feel like this show does the same thing. It's sci-fi, but it also has a lot of other great elements that people who aren't really into sci-fi would really get a kick out of. So if you like Lost, I would say definitely check out The Lost Room. I think you guys would especially like this show.
Great recommendation.
Very cool. So what is your second recommendation?
All right, we're going to shift gears a little bit. And I really like politics. I find it fascinating. But even people who don't like politics, I think there are ways to get into it that, you know, really can bring people in. And so you could say the same about history or science, things like that. A book that I just got finished reading, which I thought was fantastic, was Game Change. The full name of this is Game Change, Obama and the Clintons, McCain and Palin, and the Race of a Lifetime. This is by John Heilman and Mark Halperin. And it essentially documents the 2008 presidential race, you know, with McCain, Obama, and everything from the primaries all the way up to the end of the election. And did you guys read Bringing Down the House by Ben Mezrich, the story of the MIT kids who won a blackjack?
I heard of it, and I know they made a movie out of the story.
Yeah, that became the movie 21 with Kevin Spacey. And then Ben Mezrich also wrote The Accidental Billionaires, which became The Social Network. Mm-hmm. I would say this book is kind of akin to at least Bringing Down the House, because it's a true story, but it reads like it's a fictional novel. I mean, it could be like a mystery story, or it could be an action story. It's that much of a page turner. And that's essentially how this is written. So even if you think like, oh, okay, politics, whatever, it's kind of stuffy, this is a really good book that you're going to blow through really quickly. And it's also just cool to read because, you know, the main people in it are people who are very much still in the political spotlight, especially with Obama and Palin. And it really brings to light, especially how campaigns are run, because especially with this past election, one of the biggest compliments and criticisms, you know, putting whatever your personal political opinion is aside, for Obama is that he ran a pretty flawless campaign, didn't really make a whole lot of mistakes. And maybe you couldn't necessarily say the same for John McCain, and that probably realistically hurt them. And it sort of looks at the vetting process of Sarah Palin and really how flawed it was, everything with John Edwards, rumors about possibly another affair that was going on with Bill Clinton and what the press was doing in case that would come out. I mean, really interesting stuff that, you know, the authors really have done a lot of research. You know, you're going to have the press secretary is obviously going to come out and say, well, they didn't check things with us and whatever. But you can tell these guys really do know what they're talking about. And they spoke to a lot of people and wrote a pretty awesome book. So I would say if you're remotely interested in that sort of thing, check out Game Change. It's a really, really good read.
Well, you know, I'm a sucker for good political intrigue. I mean, if you're into Sorkin and West Wing and that sort of storytelling, I love that you're saying, you know, it's essentially as good as fiction, but it's real. Jen had recently talked a lot about the historical nonfiction that Sarah Vowell does, but this would be perhaps more compelling because these are people you still see on TV.
Exactly. And it might, you know, go out to a wider range of people that way. You know, more people could be interested in that. So I thought it's a great read. Definitely check it out.
Is there a movie in the works for this book?
There is actually an HBO movie in the works. that they're going to be doing. I guess it's going to be more focused on the Republican side of things, just based on the cast. Ed Harris is going to be John McCain. Julianne Moore is going to be Sarah Palin. They actually recently released photos of how they're going to look, and it actually looks pretty good. So that is going to be – they haven't released a release date for it, but I would think probably in the next year or so that's coming out. So I would say definitely read the book and then, you know, check out the HBO film. I mean, it's a pretty great story, so I think they're going to have a lot of fun with it.
That sounds great.
So what is your third recommendation?
Okay, so I thought I would go a little bit of a different route with this because I wanted to give you guys something that you can really sink your teeth into. So my recommendations might be cheating a little bit, but it isn't just one thing. It's actually the network of FX. Now, I recommend FX because it's not really a network that I would watch all that much. You know, there are a lot of great shows on there, like Justified, Sons of Anarchy. I know a lot of people like them. Haven't seen them personally myself. They have shows like Damages. I think Nip Tuck back in the day was on FX. It's not really a show. It's not really a network, though, that I would sort of be like, oh, I'm going to put on FX and see what's on there. It's recently sort of come around in terms of the dramas, but I want to recommend FX in terms of the comedies, because this is something that I think a lot of people don't realize. FX really has a lot to offer. They have Louis, which is the new Louis C.K. show, which he actually just got nominated for an Emmy for, which I'm really happy. Fantastic show. If you're a fan of Louis C.K., you will love this show. If you're not familiar with him as a comedian, you know, just YouTube one of his routines. It's very dark comedy, but if you like that sort of thing, like if you watch a routine and you like it, then you're going to love the show. It's not for everyone, but I think it's fantastic. They have Wilfred, which is a show that Elijah Wood is starring in, which is about him seeing a life-size Australian pot-smoking dog that he interacts with, which is, I guess they adapted it from a foreign version that is really funny. That's just getting started. There's a new show that I really like called The League, which just finished its second season, which is all about guys who are in a fantasy football league and essentially how that interacts with their lives. People almost are saying it's sort of like a Seinfeld, which I kind of get because basically all these people are really terrible human beings, and there'll be instances like they'll use a fantasy football trade in terms of, like, you know, a court battle between, you know, two of them are lawyers, and they're going to, you know, have bargaining over that for their clients' rights and everything. I mean, it's some really funny stuff. It's more of a guy show, because it's sort of like guy sensibility, guy's humor, but it's really fun. Then even the show Archer, which is an animated show that people like. I mean, comedies on FX are actually really, really good, and there are a lot of them. So I would say, if you're looking for some brand new material, especially in the comedies department, and you probably didn't know where to look, check out FX, because they actually have a really great assortment of them.
I've actually started watching Archer. I really enjoy it. It's hilarious. And I started watching it because of Aisha Tyler, who I really enjoy as a comedian. And I got to say, Archer is a really, really funny show.
Yeah, all these comedies, the theme would definitely be they're definitely for adults, but they do a pretty good job.
Well, you know, I like how you mentioned, you know, we talked about Justified. We're just getting into that. We're really enjoying it. Of course, Jen's a big fan of Sons of Anarchy. That's on our list. You're right. A lot of people are kind of getting into these dramas. I'm pretty much unaware of the comedy side of FX. I like how you said that it's kind of a guy oriented, because to me, that's sort of why I kind of dismissed or maybe pigeonholed FX in general. It just seemed like a guy network, and I didn't feel like necessarily being part of that demographic. So they've grown beyond that, obviously.
Do you normally not feel part of the guy demographic, Ryan?
I feel like a lesser guy after I watch an FX here. I watch Justified and I'm like, if Revolution came, I'd be doomed.
Well, and I hate even saying that, because there are going to be a lot of women who like all of these shows and really get into the humor. I would say, especially with The League, it does sort of tends to be, you know, more of a guy's sensibility, but there are going to be a lot of people, you know, male or female, who really like it. But I wanted to bring up FX in terms of the comedies, because they actually have a lot of them and they're all pretty good.
Great recommendation. We need to start checking out more of these FX comedies.
Absolutely.
All right, John. Well, those are all great recommendations. I don't think that last one was a cheat anyway. We've got The Lost Room, a 6-episode miniseries on sci-fi, soon to be a comic book. We've got Game Change, a book about political intrigue in the most recent presidential election by John Heilman and Mark Halperin. And finally, all of the comedies, perhaps the unseen, unsung comedies of the network FX. So we will all check those out more. I hope our listeners do as well. But now that we've really softened you up, we want to know, are you ready for some trivia?
After a long last, you're finally getting your revenge on me for the first podcast trivia challenge.
Absolutely. You're right. Wow. What a memory. Darn. Well, okay. So this is revenge for the podcast trivia challenge. You ready?
All right. Give me your worst.
So we give you three categories, three questions each. All you have to do is get two questions right out of three to win the category. Your categories are Pixar Talk, Led Zeppelin, or Toy Time.
Let's start things off with a little Pixar Talk, Super Play.
All right. Well, do you want to pick your other category, or do you want to wait to see how this one goes?
I also do Toy Talk. I'm not a huge Zeppelin fan, so
okay.
I think I'll avoid that one.
We've got Pixar Talk and Toy Time. Let's get started with Pixar Talk.
Pixar is an animation studio that has won 26 Academy Awards and made over $6.3 billion worldwide since its founding in 1979 as part of Lucasfilm. Let's see how much you know about the 12 feature films it's produced. Question one, we'll name three brands featured in Pixar films. You name the movie they're from. You ready?
All right.
Number one, Pizza Planet.
That would be, well, actually, you can see the Pizza Planet truck in pretty much every Pixar film, but
that's
that originated in Toy Story.
Correct.
Very good. It appeared in every film except The Incredibles, but good trivia there.
Number two, Harryhausen's.
Harryhausen's. Let's see. I am going to take a guess and say Monsters, Inc.?
Correct.
Very good. It was the super exclusive sushi restaurant. All right. Well, you've already got the category, but let's see if you can close it out.
Number three, By and Large.
By and Large, let's see. How about I'll take a stab with a movie I've not seen, but kind of sounds like it could fit. Cars?
No.
It was Wall-E.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, By and Large was the mega corporation that helped us visualize just how far our consumerist society could go. Well, that's okay, John. You got two out of three, so you took Pixar Talk. Let's move on to your other category.
Toy Time. We'll name two iconic toys. You tell us which came first. Number one, the Slinky or the Hula Hoop?
I'm going to go with the Slinky.
Very good. It was indeed the Slinky. The Slinky was developed in the late 40s, and the hula hoop didn't really come to fruition until the 50s through Wham-O. Now, of course, if you read the Wikipedia entry, they'll say that the idea of the hula hoop's been around for millennia, but the hula hoop in particular wasn't until the 50s. So very good. Pairing number two.
Lego or Lincoln Logs?
I believe that would be Lincoln Logs.
Correct.
That's right. Lincoln Logs were developed by John L. Wright, actually the son of Frank Lloyd Wright, in 1916. Lego didn't turn up, as much as we love Lego, until the 1940s, and that was in Denmark.
And
well, kind of makes sense. You build the log cabin before you build, like, the Lego spaceship.
Yes, I would agree. That's probably a good way to think about it.
And number three, Battleship or Candyland?
Ooh, okay. See, you would think it would be Candyland, because you sort of think of that as everyone's first game, but I'm going to go reverse psychology and say that Battleship came first.
Well, that worked out for you good, because Battleship was based on a pencil and paper game from the 1900s. It was published in 1931, and Candyland was published by Hasbro in 1949.
So that means,
I just
John,
sunk your trivia, Ryan and Jen.
You just sunk our trivia contest. Fantastic, John. Well, first of all, congratulations on getting both of those categories correct. And that means, John, congratulations on being finally the first contestant on Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday to win the game.
That's right. Dominance.
Congratulations.
Well,
thank
of course,
you guys.
Now you've presented us with a bit of a challenge because we've yet to determine what the prize is. But it'll just sort of show up in the mail by surprise.
I'll take a hug at next year's Comic-Con from you, Ryan.
We can do that.
That is a deal.
And maybe we'll buy you a double-double, too.
Awesome.
That's John Norton from Zero Hour and the Tribe, the Survivor podcast. You can find him at John Norton. That's John with an H on Twitter. John, it has been an absolute honor and a privilege to have you on the show.
Thank you, John. Oh,
thank you guys so much for having me on. I really miss seeing you guys, and hopefully it won't be too long from now that we can get together a little more often.
That's right. Comic-Con 2012. See you there.
We'll be back in a week with another guest / victim. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to be one of them, please get in touch. We love to hear about the things that you love, and we love stumping you with trivia.
Now, we want to hear from you even if you don't want to be a victim of ours. We just like feedback. We really like the suggestions and ideas that you share, so please don't hesitate to get in touch. There are many ways that you can do that. that, you can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. You can send us an email at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
If you're hungry for conversation with other Pop Spotting listeners, post your thoughts to our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting.
And if you want to chat with us, you can reach us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
We'll be back tomorrow with some new voices and some more TV talk.
We want to say thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and we want to say mahalo a nui loa to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.